Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, and we're going back this week again as we looked at yesterday to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, we have this wonderful account of the gospel spreading, going out to the ends of the earth, and there Paul is taking the gospel to Philippi. And we read this moving statement there about a certain woman named Lydia who heard Paul preach. Now, this is what we read. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, we left off with this great question yesterday. Do we have any confidence in the means that God has chosen to grant faith? Today, we have been pressed to do anything and everything than to look at, in very sincere terms and to in sincere practice, to do and to listen to what God has commanded us in the ministry of the Word, that we would indeed be faithful to the preaching of the message that He has already given to us, and not the messages that we handcraft through our stories and our own ideas to somehow make it more palatable and impressionable to the people. That is a lack of confidence in the Lord's Word. And the Lord does not bless that. He just does not bless that. He blesses the faithful proclamation of the Word in light of those, in light of the great truth, as Christ is being heralded. He then applies that message that is faithfully administered and given and preached to the heart as He opens up people's hearts to receive it, to believe it, to be changed by it, to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, as the Bible says. So we left off yesterday. Where does this faith come from? Now, God gives us faith, we looked at, to receive Christ's righteousness. We are justified by faith alone. Faith is a gift of God. You're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. It's the whole thing. Grace through faith, it's everything. He gives it all. So, you understand in this connection how confused we can be when we speak of all these other things that we do in Christian ministry as if they are of more value than what the Lord has chosen to work through. We have ministries for this and ministries for that, and we send all these people out in the mission fields, and we have ministry after ministry after ministry. And the question that you have to stop and ask is, what's happening to the primary means that the Lord has chosen to bless when the preaching of the gospel? Well, there's not a lot of confidence in that anymore. I repeatedly hear across the board that the real thing happens when we go and leave the church. And I want to say to people, no, the emphasis should be to bring people into the church, to hear the one message that the Lord has raised up a servant to deliver, by which a sinner can be saved and pulled out of darkness. Now, we get it backwards today. We forget what is needed the most. Our priorities are all wrong. And I want you to notice this model in Acts today and the rest of the week. Paul is on his missionary journey. Paul and Timothy and Silas head for Macedonia, and they come to this city of Philippi. And typically, in any given city on his missionary journeys, Paul would look for a synagogue on the Sabbath to have an opportunity to preach Christ. Well, interestingly, in Philippi, we find there wasn't a Jewish synagogue. Philippi was a very Gentile city in eastern Macedonia, which is today modern Greece. It was a thriving Roman colony. Well, Paul, Timothy, and Silas enter Philippi about AD 49, and they aren't able to find a synagogue. So without the presence of a synagogue, we get a sense of how Gentile this region is. In verse 13, this is what we read of Acts chapter 16. This is what we read happens. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. So what happened is they looked for the synagogue on the Sabbath. They couldn't find one. They went out to the riverside and they found this prayer group of women. This women's group had obviously become convinced in the God of Israel that he is the only true God. And so they're doing a sort of Bible study here. Now, if you continue to read in Acts chapter 16, you will see that what they were doing, their prayer and their study, wasn't good enough because something had not yet happened. What you read in verse 13 is that as they were praying, that Paul, Timothy, and Silas sat down, and here's the emphasis. They spoke to the women who met there. You get the sense of proclaim. These women are praying and studying, and Paul comes and proclaims. What happens? Verse 14 is just special. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard. It just says she heard. It's so important to understand what's happening here. You could read right over this. She heard. Hearing is so much more than mere listening to the word. In fact, the Bible gives, my friends, huge emphasis on hearing the word, how we hear the word, with what profit with which we hear the word. I mean, take Matthew chapter 17. Peter is jabbering away, and what does the voice come down from heaven and say? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And then, of course, in Matthew 13, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Or he who has an ears to hear, let him hear. A lot of people come and they listen to the message, but they don't really hear it. Nothing has happened on the inside. In fact, that's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, take heed what you hear. So you have to exercise great discernment with what you're hearing and how you're hearing it. He says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And that's why we've always said, be careful how you hear. Because if you immediately walk away criticizing the word, the faithful word preached, the only alternative is that you are one of those hearers upon which the seed of the word preached has landed on the path, and the devil has come and taken it away, as the heart is actually hardened. And that is why Jesus gave this all-encompassing, this all-important parable about hearing the word of the kingdom. The parable is about the parable of the sower, in which he describes different kinds of hearers. Some who hear the word, they harden themselves immediately. They hear it, it lands on the path, and the devil takes it away. Some listen, and they get temporarily excited, but there's no change. And when persecutions and tribulations come in this life, and they see what they have to give up because of the word, they immediately stumble. They leave. Some listen, but everything else in life is clouding their minds as the word is preached, so that they are what? Worried about this and worried about money and worried about all the problems of this life. And the word is choked. They are choked so that they do not grow in the faith. They do not hear properly. Then Jesus said there are some who hear the word in transforming power. They bear fruit. This is what we see in Acts chapter 16 when the Bible says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard. It just says she heard in the Greek. What does that look like? Well, the book of Acts gives us a real big picture of that. In Acts chapter 14, Paul's at Lystra, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and a crippled man is there. Listen to what happens. This is verse 8 of Acts chapter 14. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, there it is, proclaiming. He heard, right? He heard what Paul was proclaiming. Now, what did Paul notice? Listen very carefully to verse 3 of Acts chapter 14. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now, how in the world did Paul see that this man had faith to be healed? Paul was not omniscient. Paul could not look into hearts. And yet he could look at this man hearing the word, not just listening, but hearing with such profit that he could see in the faith that he had to be healed. Now, that's an amazing truth. What is really being said to you? You know, it's an amazing thing as a pastor. I believe this is something peculiar that a pastor knows. That as you're faithfully preaching the gospel of the kingdom, it's having one kind or the other kind of effect. In other words, you can often see what kind of effect the gospel preached is having by how they're hearing the message. I've seen it so many times in the Christian ministry that the message has so overtaken the being and the whole person of the one listening that they are so intently listening to the message that the whole expression of their bodies validates what's going on the inside. The Spirit is applying the word to the heart and their whole outward expression shows it. They're hearing. They're hearing with profit. They're hearing in such a way that the heart is being changed. The message has overwhelmed them. But I have to say, I've also experienced the other truth with the very same message. Sometimes in funerals, the very same message is given and the opposite is shown. People get angry. And body posture and attitude shows what's going on the inside as the message confronts their life. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, "We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" My friends, that is how powerful the message is preached. And that is what we find over and over in the Bible, that as the message is preached, the word of God, the holy gospel is given and delivered and preached with power, the unction of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about light, casual homilies for your life. That doesn't transform anything. I'm talking about preaching in the power of the Spirit, which is a far different thing, because as that is done faithfully, it kills you and it raises you anew in Christ. When that occurs, the Spirit works so as to transform the heart to save those who believe. That's what must be recovered today. A confidence in this means of preaching Christ and Him crucified, and we will see the kind of effects that we are searching for with everything else under the sun. May Christ be preached. May His power be upon us in this foolish means that He has chosen to save those who believe. Well, we do invite you to join us at the Linden United Reformed Church for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thank you for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.